that presentation, because we're going to dive a little deeper into poultry processing plants. So poultry processing jobs involve many factors that increase the risk of developing work-related injuries or illness. There's a multitude of hazards, from physical hazards to biological hazards, with Salmonella and Campylobacter being two of the largest hazards. These are both spread primarily by the fecal-oral route and can result in diarrhea, abdominal pain, and fever. In Minnesota, laboratory-positive cases of Salmonella and Campylobacter infection are reportable to the Minnesota Department of Health, or MDH. An isolate or clinical sample is then required to be sent to the state public health lab, and all cases are interviewed by MDH staff with pathogen-specific questionnaires. On September 1st, 2016, MDH staff conducted a routine surveillance interview of a person with Campylobacter jejuni. The person was currently working as a contractor at a poultry processing facility, Plant A, and reported additional illness in other contract workers at Plant A since January of 2016. Plant A was a well-established poultry processing facility that at the time of the outbreak was processing about 500,000 chickens per day. So the facility was under current construction of a new addition to double the size of the facility. The plant employed multiple construction contracting groups, including electricians and plumbers and welders, to work on the new addition part of the plant. They worked with the expectation that contractors would have no poultry contact. So our objectives were to ascertain and characterize illness in contract workers related to poultry plant A, to identify risk factors for illness, and to prevent additional cases among contract workers. For our methods, a case control study was performed. So a case was defined as a facility contractor with either diarrhea and fever or diarrhea greater than or equal to 3 days in duration with illness onset during January to September of 2016. Control was defined as a facility contractor who did not report any diarrheal illness during January to September of 2016. Cases were detected through routine laboratory-based reportable disease surveillance and through interviews with staff from contracting companies. Stool samples were collected from consenting individuals with recent gastrointestinal illness and submitted to MDH's public health laboratory for enteric bacterial culture. A facility-specific questionnaire was developed from hypothesis-generating calls with the facility safety officer, the contracting company supervisors, the index case interview, and using the facility floor plan. Rosters were received from contract companies and employees were interviewed about their illness history, employment history, and job tasks and locations of work in the facility. So this included questions about exposures to poultry tissue or fluids, infectious disease and PPE training, and hand washing and hand sanitizer usage. So what we found, there were two parts of plant A. There's the old plant represented in the rectangle on the left. So this was the fully functional processing chickens part of the plant. Contractors were not working in this part of the facility. The floor plan on the right is of the new addition, part of the facility that the contractors were working in. When construction started, there was no chickens anywhere in the new addition area. However, in an effort for the plant to increase the number of chickens that it could process and increase the production numbers, the live receiving room in the new addition, outlined by the blue rectangle, started to receive chickens in January of 2016, even though the rest of the new addition was still under construction. The live receiving room is where live chickens are brought in, slaughtered, and hung by their feet upside down on tracks hanging from the ceiling. The timing of when the live receiving room started to receive chickens coincided with the start of illness in the contract workers. Because the only room in the new addition that was functional was the live receiving room, the freshly slaughtered chickens were sent by tracks on the ceiling down a temporary hallway, shown here by the red arrow, to get them to the old existing processing plant for further processing. The main path that contractors took to get to their workspace in the new addition was through the live receiving room, indicated by the gold arrow. This led for the contractors to walk underneath a line of freshly slaughtered chickens that were passing on tracks overhead, dripping fluid onto the grounds and onto the workers. Now let's go back to that temporary hallway that was built to transport the chickens to the old plant. The gutters in the floor of the temporary hallways were not sufficient enough to handle all the fluids, feathers, and chicken parts that dropped to the grounds as the chickens were taken through this hallway. They would back up into the clean rooms in the new addition where the contractors were working, resulting in contractors working in what they described as chicken sludge, or red water that also had feathers and the occasional chicken head in it. Finally, workers were taking their breaks in unofficial areas, shown by the gold circle, that was very far from any hand-washing stations. So 74 of 90 contractors were interviewed. 14 of these contractors met the case definition. Four were laboratory confirmed, two with Campylobacter jejuni, one with Salmonella enteritidis, and one with Salmonella Newport. Shown on the screen is the epi curve by onset date, and onsets ranged from the third week of January through the second week of September, with a peak during late August. The median age of cases was 39 years, ranging from 24 to 52 years, and 100% of the cases were male. Affected professions included electricians, plumbers, welders, and equipment installers. Diarrhea was present in all cases, cramps in 64% of cases, fever in 50%, vomiting in 35%, and bloody stool in 7%. Zero were hospitalized. Being an electrical company employee was associated with illness, with odds ratios of 10.4. Other significant risk factors included taking breaks in unofficial areas and contact with poultry fluids. When describing their work environment, many contractors reported things like this: crawling on the floor beneath birds pulling cables on the floor, blood, feces, water everywhere. My extension cord would come into contact with all sorts of materials. I used dirty hands to grab tools out of my toolbox. Everything was dirty. And that I was up to my knees in chicken parts. So 100% of the contractors reporting having training concerning physical occupational hazards, but only 31% of contractors reported infectious disease prevention training, despite working at a poultry processing facility. Most of the workers had never worked at an animal processing facility before and had no idea of any infectious diseases that these facilities could present. There are major differences in the personal protection equipment, or PPE, that the full-time employees wore at the facility when working in the existing processing plant versus the PPE reported to be used by contract workers. Full-time employees had dedicated clothes, gloves, some stations had masks, and were very strict rules about reporting worker illness. In contrast, contractors wore hard hats and steel-toed boots primarily, not utilizing any PPE strategies to protect against infectious disease hazards. So after the safety officer visited the facility, some immediate response actions were implemented, including intense cleaning of doorknobs and railings, drip pans under the hanging chickens so they wouldn't drip on people's heads, drain management so gutters would not overflow, infectious disease hazard training at the start of each work shift, and illness reporting in contract workers. The outbreak ended when the new addition construction was completed and contractors were no longer at the facility. Facilities and contracting companies are jointly responsible for the safety of contractor temporary workers. They really should have broad and complete training of all potential hazards to contract workers should be performed at facilities, not just the expected hazards. Finally, over the course of a project, hazard identification should be repeated as the work environment or job evolves or changes. When live poultry started being processed in parts of the new facility, the risk definitely changed, and a lot of contractors were exposed to infectious disease hazards with no protection. Contractor temporary workers have the right under OSHA for a safe and healthy workplace, but often fall through the cracks and are not treated the same as full-time employees. The staffing agency and the staffing agency's clients are joint employers of temporary workers, and therefore both are responsible for maintaining and providing a safe work environment for the workers. During this outbreak, each entity thought that the other held this responsibility, and thus neither did. Thank you.
Building the facility, and if so, if the company
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of disconnects here. So the company that owned this plant owned multiple different plants across Minnesota, and I think across other states as well. So the decision to bring birds into part of the factory was a purely economic and production one. They were able to increase their production even though the facility wasn't totally done. The safety officer doesn't sit at that plant. She sits at a different plant. And she had evaluated the plant at the start of the construction, but didn't reevaluate it once the chickens were placed. The contracting supervisors didn't seem to have any more knowledge than the contractors about hazards that it could promote. The contractors were complaining to their bosses about how nasty, in their words, things were. And they knew that their workers were getting influenza-like illness. But there was not an awareness on the contracting supervisors about these infectious disease hazards either, so they just kept writing things off as the flu.
And one of the things we're dealing with right now, we've got an issue where we have an employer who creates a hazard and who has knowledge of the hazard. They train the contractor. The contractor has a deserved farm, the home run. And they have knowledge of the hazard. But they in turn hire secondary contractors. And we are right now trying to define
that gets a little deeper into occupational health policy, I think, than I can fully speak to. But, I mean, everyone plays a role in keeping these workers healthy. So whoever's hiring the contractor companies and the contracting companies themselves, and this is speculating, but the middlemen in between, and if anyone else has things to add, I would assume would play a role, but I don't have a great answer to that. When nobody takes a role, though... Yeah. The more people in play, though, the more likely they slip through the crack, it seems, though. Okay, sorry.
Do they know they're supposed to wash their hands? And where are those facilities at? Were they workers were also washing their hands?
They were in a break room on the other side of the facility that the contractors didn't like to use. There were signs on the wall. The soap and paper towels was often taken out of the dispensers that were near the contractors because stuff was still under construction. The signs on the wall said they should. Thank you.